God has said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'm going to protect my people. This addresses all your fear. You have fear for your children in the world? Do you fear whether you're doing enough? You think you're the one doing the work ultimately? You fear what the economies of this world will become? Do you fear your health? You fear so much. You're sheep. I'm sheep. Here's your shepherd who's opened up heaven and prepared a place for you. And he promises he's coming again to get you, to take you to be where he is forever.
Hi there. Welcome to Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. We're in Hebrews chapter 8, verses 1 through 6, looking at the heavenly ministry of Jesus. As we begin today's program, we do so with a look at a copy, a shadow of that heavenly ministry, Jesus in heaven. It's called the tabernacle that was designed and created through Moses. That's where we pick up today on Abounding Grace. Here's Chris.
There was a giant mercy seat in there. The cherubim had their arms spread out over that mercy seat, and woven into the fabric, all around the fabric, were angels. What an amazing little structure. Describing God dwelling with his people. Now, the law regulated this. The law from Sinai regulated this. We saw last time there were problems. The big problem that he worked with was first the nature of the priests themselves. They were sinful, remember. And there were three problems with the priests. They were sinful, you remember? They died, and they were weak. And what a mess at times the Old Testament priesthood was. We went through some of that. To look at all the things that happened today in the ministry of the church, we've already seen it in Israel's history. We looked at Hophni and Phinehas. We looked at the abuse. We looked at the evil that could come. What the author turns to in Hebrews, you look carefully here in verse 4 and 5, for when Moses was about to erect the tent, he was instructed by God. He grabs Exodus 25. See that you make everything according to the pattern that was shown to you on the mountain. And in verse 5 is the issue. Here's the big issue of the text today. They serve a copy and a shadow of heavenly things. Well, there's the problem. The tabernacle was just a little sketch. The tabernacle was just a little model. The tabernacle was, it's like when I was a boy, boys and girls, I remember building a little F-14. That's when those were in. And that little F-14, I detailed that whole thing and I made this beautiful little plane, but it always bothered me I couldn't fly it. And I go out to Lemoore Naval Air Station where I grew up and there would be one. And wow, was that awesome to stand in front of. They never let me get in, though. I don't know why. This is kind of like what's happening here. The law regulated the earthly priesthood. The law regulated a model. That's all it was. It was a little model of heaven. A structure that showed how to get to God. So you see the big issue here in Hebrews, what's this been telling us? The old covenant is not the separation that we have in our Bibles between the Old and the New Testaments. That's not what the old covenant is. We're not dispensationalists. The old covenant is clearly the arrangement that was given through Moses in the ceremonial and the types and the shadows. And even the law itself, as it announced and showed how bad we were because of sin, could not save us. So the old covenant is this administration with Moses. What was set up with Moses. And the priests served that tabernacle. The priests served that ministry. But what's the big problem? It never saved. They had to look by faith to Jesus, didn't they? The things that Abraham looked for. The law never saved. The priests died. The priests were weak. And now he grabs the tabernacle and says, it was only a little model. And that brings us today to the great point of this. He says it in this way. In verse 8, he brings it to a crescendo, a beautiful climax to what he wants to tell us here in verse 1. The author provides this summary. Now, the point in what we're saying is this. When an author does that, he's saying, this is a big thing. Everything I want to capture, I want to tell you right here. We have such a high priest. One who is seated at the right hand of the throne of majesty in heaven. Notice, a minister in the holy places. The true tent which God set up and not man. Which, by the way, I don't know how any of this crazy theology that has gone on in our country for a long time that says we should set up the copy again on earth is ever a good thing by rebuilding the tabernacle and the tent. That's going way backward. I mean, that's just foolish. It didn't, that served a copy, is what he's saying. And that's been the popular theology in our land for I don't know how long. It's an absolutely crucial point he's making. Notice carefully what he said. Jesus is serving us from the true tent. On the throne in the majesty in heaven. Ministering to us there from the holy places. If you understand him saying that to a Jewish audience, you know, in the first century with all their history and with their tabernacle and their temple, that is an overwhelming statement. That this is what the new covenant ministry is pushing us to understand. And you could imagine them trying to think about this and understand this as they had this long history of the copy, of the sketch, of the model. The law regulated the earthly priesthood. And that excluded, the author says, Jesus from the entire arrangement. That's what he's simply saying here. Why? Because Jesus is not ministering to you from types and shadows. By his blood, which all that sacrifice and offering, all anticipated throughout the Old Testament, he has passed up into the heavens for you. And he's opened it up. And he's given you access to God. I was talking with one of you the other day after the last sermon, and you were really encouraged and touched by the thought. You know, you imagine at the cross, as soon as he said, listen to the account in Mark 15. And Jesus uttered a loud cry and breathed his last. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Can you imagine the priest standing there seeing that? Grab it. We got to sew it back up. They would have been devastated. The glory was not in that temple. The copy had just been done away with. The copy served its purpose. The shadow and the model was over. You get to get in the plane now. It's just an amazing truth, beloved, that Jesus being our perfect high priest. In fact, it says, you notice that little language in the last verse of chapter 7, he was made perfect. Maybe that troubles us. It shouldn't. When he took on our humanity and he actively lived and kept the law, what it's saying is he fulfilled all righteousness for us and he was made perfect, even though he was always perfect. He went under the law and fulfilled righteousness for us. He underwent that for you so that you would be justified before God by faith, just as they were taught to understand. And then he went to heaven. And you see, this is what the authors of the New Testament want us to so appreciate and marvel. That's why Paul would say, you know, we're members of the Jerusalem above, which is the mother of us all. We belong to that city. He's about to develop this. Abraham looked for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. The true reality is now open. That's what he's saying. What Genesis 1:1, what we lost at the fall, is now opened right back up to us through this priest king, and he's a priest king. He's now seated on that throne, and that mercy seat, that his blood was shed and atonement was made. But what does that mean for us? Priests died. Remember last week, there must have been an awful sense in Israel. Every time, you ever read the Kings, boys and girls, and been like, oh boy, what kind of king are we going to get now? Here's a good one, and then bad, 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 bad. Then a good one, and then kind of good, then bad, 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 good. Well, I think you fill that with the burdens of a president. What are we going to get? Notice all the tension and worry we have on this issue. Do we get a good one? Do we get a bad one? And just look at how bad a bad one can be. And this happens in churches. We get a good pastor or a bad pastor, a bad pastor or a good pastor. This happens in daily life. Do we get a good boss or a bad boss? What's he going to be like? And in America, we have for so long looked to men. In the ministry, we have looked to men. Hebrews. He is your priest king forever by the power of an indestructible life. He cannot die anymore. And he is harmless. Remember that last week? Wasn't that just a beautiful word? Think of abuse. He's harmless. He's holy. He's righteous. He's pure. And he does only good to you. And he exercises all these compassions upon you. And he's seated forever for you. You know what that means? Why is the new covenant so much better? he grabs, this is next time, he grabs Jeremiah 31 and he puts it right here, the whole thing of the new covenant. What wonderful things are said there. What it means is the new covenant is in action right now. It has been put in place right now. And guess what that means? Listen to it. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord. I'll establish a new covenant with the house of Israel. When? Right now. Includes Jews and Gentiles together. Not like the covenant I made with their fathers. When was that? When I brought them out of the land of Egypt at Sinai. That's the old covenant. They didn't continue in that covenant. They broke that covenant. So I showed no concern. This is the covenant that I make with the house of Israel after those days. I will put my law on their mind. I can't wait to preach this next week. Put their law on their minds and write it on their hearts. I'll be their God and they shall be my people. They're going to know this. They're going to understand this. They're going to take delight in this. And they're gonna know the Lord. They're gonna know the Lord. It's what you're just hearing right now. You're knowing the Lord. But here's the great, great, great truth. For I will be merciful toward their iniquities, and I will remember their sins no more. Wow. You don't have a priest on earth who fails. You don't have a priest on earth who dies. Remember when Jesus in John 1 was sitting with, came to Nathanael? Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Nathanael answered him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." And Jesus answered, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You'll see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven opened, and the angels of God descending and descending on the Son of Man." What do you see? Heaven's open right now. It's the day of salvation is all about. This is what Paul was saying to us, beloved, when he said in Ephesians 1, "Because God, who is rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses and sins, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved." And what did he do? He raised us up And he seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. If Jesus is there, you're there. That's how set in stone your union is with Jesus. So that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. That's where you belong, is what he's saying. And your body, when he raises it, will be there. See, this is the implication then today. Why am I so overjoyed to preach this? It's because of what we're building to in chapter 10. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter where? The holy places, by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. What do you think you're doing right now? Where do you think you are right now? I wish you could see. It's just worth thinking about when Elisha's servant saw the armies coming at them and all this wickedness in the earth. When the servant of the man of God arose early in the morning and went out, behold, an army with horses and chariots were all around the city. He said, "Don't be afraid. My master, what are we going to do?" Then Elijah prayed and said, "Lord, open his eyes that he might see just for a minute." So the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain. There was a mountain all around him. It was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. And when the Syrians came down against him, Elisha prayed to the Lord and said, "Please strike the people with blindness. They don't get to see." So he struck them with blindness, according to the prayer of Elisha. What's he doing for you? That's what I'm closing with. He is continuing to minister to you from heaven. And when you worship, you're gathered together right now. Do you see? Heaven is not a distant place, beloved. Heaven is not trillions and trillions of miles away. Heaven is another dimension right here, right now, you can't see. It's upon us. And when you die, you enter that. The author wants you to know that there is a continual ministry of Jesus as our high priest that continues forever. You know, that's what he's saying. But as it is, Christ has obtained a ministry that is much more excellent than the old, as the covenant he mediates is better, since it's enacted on better promises. That's all the fulfillment of what Abraham was promised and looked to. That's why there's a continuity in the covenant of grace. So what's he doing for you right now? He's watching over you, and he's ruling you, and he's graciously defending you, and he's, guess what he's also doing right now? He's judging the world. Why do you think things are such a mess right now? Does anyone have the eyes to see that? I was talking with Dr. Godfrey just the other day. We were talking about Romans 1. The wrath of God is revealed as he turns people over in their sins. If something has to be revealed, it means it's hidden until it's revealed. What that means is people are not able to see that the wrath of God right now is being revealed. Can you? You know, we're in the middle of Pride Month now. A whole month of this. Carl Truman said, "If the arrival of the pilgrims, the founding of the nation, and even the contribution of Martin Luther King receive no more than 24 hours on the national calendar, the LGBTQ plus alliance has an entire month to party in the streets." What an arrogant assault on the Creator. You think this is going to go well? When the king is seated? Why do you think things are all in disarray? He's executing judgments from the throne. The entire nation right now is tasting the wrath of God. And they should kiss the Son today, lest they perish in the way. Because that's what Psalm 2 says he does. He judges the nations. But where are we? Goshen? God has said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'm going to protect my people. So we can confidently say at the end of Hebrews, the Lord is my helper. We will not fear. What can man do to me? I saw the image this week of the Nebuchadnezzar idol wrapped in a rainbow flag and the masses all bowing and a few Christians standing and then a few others trying to pull them down, and it said the church. That's what we're faced with. This addresses all your fear. You have fear for your children in the world? Do you fear whether you're doing enough? We always live under that. I'm never doing enough. I've always failed. You think you're the one doing the work ultimately? You fear what the economies of this world will become? Do you fear your health? You fear so much. You're sheep. I'm sheep. Here's your shepherd who's opened up heaven and prepared a place for you, and he promises he's coming again to get you, to take you to be where he is forever. When Abraham saw Melchizedek that day, he saw the priesthood of Jesus. And what did Melchizedek do for him? He put out his hand and gave them bread and wine. You don't have anything to worry about. He's not calling you today to work for your salvation. He's calling you to look and trust to him and trust in his word. He's calling you to come up to worship with an entirely different attitude. He's calling you to be saved. And today he's calling you to see everything that Abraham saw by faith, now in fulfillment. For I tell you, said Jesus, from now on, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And likewise the cup, after he had eaten, saying, this cup is poured out for you. It is the new covenant in my blood. Behold, beloved, your priest king. See him. Live by faith in him. And trust him. He's opened up heaven to you. It's already open. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for helping us to understand the deeper mysteries of your word. Give us faith to see properly right now with understanding, to know that you're with us and that you've protected us and that you will. For you have declared, I will never leave him nor forsake them. So we look to you today, our priest king, risen, victorious, seated. Holy Spirit has been sent. He's convicting the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And we have been given a place in the kingdom of a new covenant ministry where you have promised you will remember our sins no more. Let us not be unbelieving, but believing. In Jesus' name, amen.
This is Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Just enough time to leave you with our contact information. We'd love to hear from you. It's always a delight knowing you're being blessed by this radio program. Reach out to us at our website, agradio.org. Questions@agradio.org. If you wish to email us any questions you might have or praise reports, comments about the program. Or give us a call, 888-504-8805. By the way, when you visit our website, agradio.org, tons of resource material for you to tap into, as well as links to our other platforms, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Again, all at agradio.org. And that phone number, once again, is 888-504-8805. Looking to write to us? If you're old school, the address for your envelope is Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington. The zip code is 98264. Hey, thanks for joining us today. Until next time, God bless. Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, this is Chris Gordon, pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. I'd like to invite you to our Sunday worship services at 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. on Sunday. We have two worship services, 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. We preach Christ and Him crucified with the goal that you would live in the joy of this comfort in the knowledge of the forgiveness of all of your sins. 1864 North Broadway is the address here in Escondido. We'd love to see you this Sunday.